Thank you. It's great to be back here.
How's all the prep coming along? It's a different feeling January, which is now going to extend into February for an Australian Open, like no other that we've experienced before. So the tennis season slightly altered in terms of the routine that you would normally get into for an Australian summer of tennis. But tell us how you're handling it all and how the prep's coming along.
Of course, it's a little bit of a different look to my normal Australian summers. But, you know, this is the hand we've been dealt, and we're fortunate enough to be playing and actually being able to come here and play the Open. So it's been a different look, but I believe something, you know, 2020 and I guess in 2021, we've had to adapt, and that's one of the biggest things. We've had a good preseason. We feel like we're hitting the ball well, and now we're just looking forward to getting started and being able to play on home soil again.
I mean, you've got the year off to a great start. I mean, there'll be a lot listening in who maybe aren't totally aware. They're just so focused on the Australian Open. I'm talking more the theatre-goer tennis viewer here in Melbourne. The tennis season has actually started, and you won an event in Turkey, and winning form is good form. How important has that been for you, Alex? Because you obviously, you know, come off a tough 2020 for everyone in tennis, but just to get the year off with a win, to get some matches under your belt and come to Melbourne with a bit of confidence.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I wanted to put 2020 in the rearview mirror, like probably everyone else.
Yep.
And starting off 2021 with a win is very important to me. Shows I started on a good step, and that's where I want my year to be headed. I want 2021 to be everything 2020 wasn't.
I mean, you've done an outstanding job, Alex, to get to where you have in the last 3 years. And that's been on the back of an amazing work ethic, a lot of hard work dedicated to your craft, to be inside the top 30. And you had that brief period inside the top 20. You've been able to consolidate, and there's still so much to give and to come physically, your game, mentally. I know you've, you know, like a lot of tennis players, been doing a bit of work with the mind sort of thing. Just tell us where you think you're at in a journey that in a lot of ways is just getting started, even though we've seen, you know, so much good stuff from you over the last 3 years at such a young age.
Well, basically, like you've said, everything is always a work in progress, and I'm always working towards improving and getting higher of the rankings. It's about continuing to push myself, keep working hard, keep doing the right things, and of course, you know, there's parts of my game that need work, and they always will. And you know, that's where everything else kind of ties in. I mean, the hard work off the court, on the court, the mental side of things. I may not have the weapons of other players, but you know, I've got to find different ways to improve and win matches. And look, with my team, we're trying to keep pushing up higher, and hopefully 2021 is a big year for me.
Absolutely. Hey, tell us a bit about your team. I mean, obviously everyone knows that Adolfo Guterres has been with you from your infancy. Leighton plays his part along the way. Have you added anyone else to your team? Just tell us about sort of the other people around you who are really, really important to you continuing that upward trajectory.
Well, I've now been working with my physio and fitness trainer, Emilio Boveda.
Yep.
Who, you know, I've been taking on tour with me as well, and traveling. And basically, my psychologist as well. Like, there's a lot of people behind the scenes with this, a lot of people that I work with and I would call my team. It's gotten to the point when every single percentage counts. So it's all about those 1%ers, the work you do off the court, in the gym, recovery, rehab, on the mind, even nutrition. I mean, all these things that I keep kind of implementing in my game, it's is to try to keep improving, trying to find a way to keep improving, keep getting better, and that's what it's all about.
Alex Di Minora is our special guest here on Afternoons, Australia's number one ranked male player. That tag, does that sit nicely with you? I mean, you've earned that right, and you know, we talk a lot about, I mean, as you can imagine, a sports audience who listen to this radio station talk a lot about Nick and following his journey. And, you know, I said to someone last week, well, let's focus maybe a little bit more on Alex because he is our number one player and he has earned that right. You're going to lead the ATP Cup team again next week where you were outstanding in Sydney last year. Unfortunately, it led to the abdominal injury and you missed the Australian Open. But does that sit nicely with you, being known as our number one player?
Look, it's an incredible privilege, and any time I get to represent the green and gold, I'm going to wear it with pride, and there's no greater honour. So, look, I've always been under the radar, and I'm happy with that. It means I get more time to work on myself, my craft, and my game, and you know, that way I guess people don't see me coming, so I don't mind being the being in the shadows a bit, and look, I'm just grateful to be where I am, very happy with the work we've done, and obviously there's no greater honor than representing Australia, so I'll do that with pride and the best possible way I can.
Not a bad place to be under the radar. I absolutely agree with that. And, of course, the ATP Cup, we've learnt last night, gets pushed back 24 hours. So an extra day to prepare once you come out of that full quarantine, although you've been able to get out and practice. Unfortunately, so many haven't been able to. I mean, you're very close, very tight with the Australian players. You can see that, Alex. What about in such a global game, who are your other close ties with? Because tennis players develop, you know, great friendships with many different players right across the globe.
Yeah. I've probably got to say a couple of the Spaniards. Since I spend a fair bit of time over there, I'm very close with Roberto Bautista. We've hit a lot. We live pretty close to each other. And probably my hitting partner here in lockdown, Cameron Norrie, who he came over to Alicante for 2 weeks during preseason, and now we're spending obviously another 2 weeks here training. So there's a couple different ties here and there, but obviously I would say the strongest ties are with the Aussies for sure.
Obviously, you know, those underneath you, I mean, John Millman, who's 10 years older than you, Alex, but you know, he may get to a career-high ranking this year. He's playing outstanding tennis. Jordan Thompson's built, you know, a great base, and we want to see Tomo go a little higher. James Duckworth, hopefully, is over, you know, the worst of his injuries. We know that Alexei Popyrin, same age as yourself, is a huge talent developing. There's a good stock, isn't there, of Australian players who all have just an amazing work ethic. You know, when the Australians step out, they're always going to be pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, I strongly believe that we've got a great group of guys up there. And, you know, we're just pushing. You know, we've got also Chris O'Connell, a couple of Mark Pullman. So yep. A couple of guys that are very close to pushing into top 100 as well. So, look, I think we've got a great group of guys around. There's a great team camaraderie, a great team chemistry. We're all pushing for each other. We're all helping each other out. And look, I, for one, have learned so much from all these players. They've kind of taken me under their wing as a young junior, and especially as an Orange boy during Davis Cup ties. So I've been able to learn so much. And I think it's a great group of people to be around.
Hopefully the Davis Cup goes ahead later this year and you'll get a chance to come together. I mean, the ATP is a fascinating sort of setup, Alex. For those who don't understand the governance of tennis, it has a player council as well, which John Millman is now a part of. Federer and Nadal and, you know, Felix Auger-Aliassime is about the same age, a year younger than you, sort of representing players inside the top 50. I mean, as a player, do you have a voice in the game, or do you just sort of go about your business and play tennis, or are you one that sort of steps up and offers your opinion about where the game's heading?
Look, it's a tricky one. I would say that me personally, I don't. I probably worry just about playing tennis.
Yep.
I mean, we've got a great people around to help all the players out in the player council, and if there's any issues, you know, perfect guys. Especially now that I've got Johnny Millman, who's a very close mate of mine, so that's way easier. But I would probably say that I've, even from early stages, whenever I came out on tour, I wasn't one to probably talk out too much. Yep. I like to stay to myself, stay to my team, my close friends, and I guess the worry on my tennis.
No doubt the primary focus. I mean, you missed the Australian Open last year. I know that really hurt you. I mean, the Aussies get such a small window to play in front of their fans here in Australia. Then you're on the road for the majority of the year. And obviously, you know, everyone knows your backstory of mainly, you know, growing up in Spain, although you spent quite a few years in Sydney. It's a sort of fascinating journey that you've been on. But just that opportunity once again to play the Australian Open, I mean, that must mean a lot. It was tough for you to be on the sidelines this time last year.
Oh, for sure. It felt like a long time coming. Last year was pretty brutal. So now I kind of getting my redemption. I'm really looking forward to playing my home slam again. There's no better feeling than to go out there and to play in front of a home crowd. So that's definitely going to be special. I've put in a lot of work and hopefully I can show my best tennis there.
And just a final one, how's the family going? I mean, I spoke to your mum a couple of years ago at Wimbledon. You got young brothers and sisters. I mean, you don't get to see them all the time, but last year in a COVID year, you got to spend a bit more time. You know, tennis players just treasure any opportunity to have a bit of downtime in a sport that demands so much and you're living out of a suitcase on the road for a lot of the year. How nice was that just to have maybe a bit more family time?
Oh, it was really nice. As you said, during lockdown, there was a lot of time to be spent with the family. I got to cherish that a lot. It was a situation that I obviously wasn't used to, being in the same place for more than 3 weeks. So it was amazing. I got to cherish that a lot and got to, I guess, regenerate the batteries and you know, get ready to come back and compete again.
Really appreciate your time. I mean, you've put together a terrific body of work to this stage. At 21 years of age, to be ranked 23 in the world is a mighty achievement, and we look forward to seeing you go further and further. And we know anyone who's got a ticket to go and watch your match knows they're going to be in for one hell of a ride because you give it 120% every time you step out. So all the best for what lies ahead over the next few weeks.
Thank you very much, Brett.
Alex Di Minore, number one ranked Australian male, joining us here on SEN Afternoons. And if you're lucky enough to have a ticket to Alex's match, he'll give you everything. And we hope you can have a really, really good run.